Hello everybody. Today I just wanted to do a quick video about the unfolding Yemen situation, a little bit of the history of the conflict, and how, even though it hasn't really breached the news cycle much over the last decade, it has been an ongoing event and not something new, as kind of the idiot in a hurry version of the headlines would have you believe. It has become much more headline over the last 48 hours, and I believe at least for a few days it will be our news cycle current thing. But the conflict itself is something, like I said, of a holdover really from as far back as 2002, as what would be considered the early part of the War on Terror. Before I go too much further, I just quickly want to say that you can support us over on Ko-Fi. You can look at our written work over on the Anti-Politics Substack, which is where we'll be updating quite a few things we've had in the works for a while, so it's quite exciting over there. And also today, the free version of our appearance on the Delling Pod came out, so all of that will be linked below. But as you've probably seen, if you are watching the news at all, it is hard to escape right now the fact that we are bombing Yemen. Or at least, we are bombing Yemen again. Because as I will stress throughout this, we, and I say we as in the West and NATO, really have not stopped bombing Yemen. We've done it through proxy wars, and we've done it through dubious allies and coalitions. But NATO arms and US arms have never stopped falling on Yemen. The BBC and others are at a bit of a fever pitch right now, and they're trying to sell this war to us as part of a robust response to kind of a global terrorism. The axis of evil stuff is coming back a little bit. They're trying to tie the Houthi rebels, who are who they're targeting, to Iran, and they're trying to try tie Iran to Russia and the wider conflict in Ukraine. Here we see again, this is from Reuters. They're talking about the response to the harassment of international shipping. This is because Yemen finds itself in a rather unfortunate position. Apart from the Strait of Hormuz up there above the UAE and next to Iran, which isn't labeled in this for some reason, Yemen, as well as Djibouti, are two sides of the Bab el Mandeb, or the Gate of Tears, the Gate of Grief, or the Gate of Lamentation. It is one of the choke points into the Red Sea, which means that all international shipping that goes through the Suez Canal either way has to come through this choke point near Yemen, which has put them in an unfortunate situation where really the interests of Saudi Arabia and the West in general is to do what they have done to Somalia, which is effectively stop them becoming a rival power center potentially by turning them into a failed state. I put a little tweet about this earlier. I wanted to just quickly go over the point I made in that Yemen really is the result of the current regime's need to bomb something. Anything. The forever wars are called the forever wars because they don't stop. They just last forever. Like I said, Yemen has long kind of been the insider foreign policy pick. It's almost been the hipster pick of where the next hot war situation happens in the Middle East. And people have almost been waiting and checking their watches for when there's going to be another major Western bombing campaign in Yemen. This has been long in the making. The jingoism, the Iraq war-style jingoism that's been fostered by Ukraine but somewhat sullied by the situation in Israel is meant to be maintained by this. They're, as you've probably seen by many commentators, switching gears without pausing, we're moving back to a war on terror footing. A war on terror footing is what is coming after the quote-unquote woke era. We're just doing the war on terror again. We've been bombing Yemen since the Obama administration, and millions of pounds of munitions are being spent to performatively pound sand, because, like in Afghanistan, these people do not really have much infrastructure left. But we'll get to all of that in a second. Yemen is one of the more famous victims of the drone striker in chief of Obama himself. we'll quickly go over a little bit of the history here, but Yemen is part of the picture of the Nobel Prize-winning drone strikes of Barack Obama. The intensification of bombing in Yemen directly was done under Obama, and some of the most famous civilian massacres, directly and indirectly related to the war on terror, were done in Yemen. This is why we do some slightly dark jokes about Yemeni weddings and Obama, because of the two events we're about to go over here. But again, a total of 563 drone strikes targeted Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen, compared to 57 strikes under Bush. Between 384 and 807 civilians were killed in those countries, according to reports logged by the Bureau. But the first event we'll go through, which is a civilian killing directly perpetrated by the American regime, the Obama administration, was in December 2013, but this report is from February 2014. This is from Human Rights Watch, and it's entitled A Wedding That Became a Funeral, U.S. Drone Attack on Marriage Procession in Yemen. Here's a quick map of where the drone strike was. But to read the summary, on December 12, 2013, a United States aerial drone launched four Hellfire missiles on a convoy of 11 cars and pickup trucks during a counterterrorism operation in rural Yemen. The strikes killed at least 12 men and wounded at least 15 others, six of them seriously. Yemen authorities initially described all those killed in the attack outside the city of Rad as terrorists. The US government never officially acknowledged any role in the attack, but unofficially told media that the dead were militants, and that the operation targeted a most wanted member of Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, who was wounded and escaped. Witnesses and relatives of the dead and wounded interviewed by Human Rights Watch in Yemen said the convoy was a wedding procession. And they said everyone in the procession was a civilian, including all of the dead and injured, and the bride received a superficial face wound. After the attack, angry residents blocked a main road in Rad, a provincial capital in central Yemen. And all of this has been a spiraling kind of intensification in Yemen that has become a Afghanistan-style, civil society basically at war, and as more people die and as more people know people who die, more people are dragged into it. It is becoming very much like an Afghanistan situation in which you have an entire civil society that will resist Western intervention. The other airstrike came at the hands of the Arab coalition. What's been happening since 2014 is that the US authorities have been allowing the Saudi Arabians to send thousands and thousands of tons of munitions, almost at random in some cases, it looks like, to blow up large bits of Yemen. Yemen has basically been a live firing range for Saudi Arabia and some of its allies for the last 9 years. This is from Reuters. Its death toll from airstrike on Yemen wedding party rises above 130. Yemen had jumped 131 on Tuesday, said medics, in one of the deadliest attacks on civilians in Yemen war that drew strong condemnation from the UN Secretary General. The Saudi Arabian-led coalition that has air superiority over Yemen has strongly denied any role in the wedding party carnage, and a coalition spokesman suggested that local militias may have fired the projectiles. I believe this was since investigated, and since this was definitely an aerial strike, it wasn't a rocket attack. It was a precision aerial strike on a wedding. It stretches credulity, because Yemeni Air Force doesn't exist, or at least the Yemeni Rebel Air Force doesn't exist. Any airstrikes carried out in Yemen, by definition, can't really be done by the Houthi rebels, because they don't have an air force. But again, this was a very famous incident of a Yemeni wedding party, this time a larger one, wedding tents being targeted by Western weapons in Arab hands. There we go. There's a couple of reports here as well, first of which is from CNN, talking about the fact that American-made weapons were used in a string of civilian killings. A string of civilian killings in Yemen. The Washington Post also carried, I believe, a very, very large report about the killings in Yemen, which talk about the fact that the headline's missing here since this is an archive, but it's entitled Saudi War Crimes in Yemen, basically, and the fact that despite the UN, and I know they're not very credible, but UN and other people describing what's going on in Yemen as war crimes, the US and other allied nations, in quotes, have been supplying most of the arms that have been used to kill these Yemeni civilians. This is from 2022. As global attention focused on the Russian invasion of Ukraine earlier this year, the Saudi-led coalition carried out more than 150 airstrikes on civilian targets in Yemen, including homes, hospitals, and communication towers, according to the Yemen Data Project. Again, these airstrikes are simply converting Yemen into a failed state, but one that is able to carry out, again, Afghanistan-style resistance. You can't defeat people with air power who are cave-dwelling goat farmers. Doesn't work. It was the latest uptick in bombing during a grinding and often overlooked civil war that has upended the lives of Yemeni civilians for the better part of a decade and spawned one of the most severe humanitarian crises in the world. Hundreds of thousands have died from the fighting or its indirect consequences, such as hunger, the United Nations says. The devastating air campaign alone, carried out by a Saudi-led coalition, has killed almost 24,000 people, a number that includes combatants and nearly 9,000 civilians, according to conservative estimates. While Russia's bombings of a maternity hospital and other civilian targets in Ukraine have drawn widespread public indignation as war crimes, thousands of similar strikes have taken place against Yemeni civilians. An odd choice for the Washington Post, but it does illustrate the point. And really, it does remind me of Libya and the tragedy of Libya. I will say to go, if you've not seen that, go and watch our Tragedy of Libya video, and or go and seek out our History of the Forever Wars video, although that is slightly older now since that is more than 3 years old. But it's the same playbook. It's the same Western playbook of creating these failed states in these potentially wealthy or strategically important regions so that international interests cannot go in and establish a government, but go in and exploit the chaos to create footholds as they tried to do in Syria, and as was prevented really by the deployment of Russian air power in many cases. But we shan't talk about Syria too much here. There's a few key points I want to bring home and really want to kind of hammer into people's heads about all of this, though. The first is that the US has never stopped bombing Yemen. And we as the West started bombing Yemen in 2002 and never stopped. And the idiot in a hurry version of the headlines makes people think that this is a conflict that really has just started in response to the harassment of ships in the Red Sea. But that couldn't be further from the truth. What we are seeing is an ongoing conflict breaching the news cycle, being framed as a new one. The US went out looking for people to kill in Yemen in the war on terror and has largely created this situation in which they have elevating resistance from larger and larger pieces of Yemeni society because they are quite simply pounding the place into dust. In many cases with very expensive weapons to defeat very, very cheap drones. It's another story like in Ukraine of very expensive Western military equipment being sent to kill maybe a couple of people. In this case, maybe a couple of Yemeni goat farmers with a semi-homemade rocket or drone that they are using to basically harass Western shipping a little bit of a fist shake at Israel and the West in general. But in taking the bait, As the BBC points out here, they really are not containing but escalating the situation, which, in my opinion, is what they were intending to do. There's this real interplay between Ukraine and Yemen in that during the Ukraine conflict, we were supposed to assume that we had always been at war in Eurasia and that we had pulled out of the Middle East and that the wars in the Middle East were no longer going on and that we were fighting a war in Europe to preserve Europe. But that really couldn't be further from the case. What we have had now is a reversal in that we have a conflict in the Middle East attempting to distract from the embarrassing situation in Ukraine, where in 2022, NATO declared a victory and has now had to row that victory back and admit that that victory never happened. This is going to be, I think, our current thing, at least for the next couple of weeks. In terms of the origins of the conflict, there's long been a civil war fostered by both Saudi and American interests to try and remove the Houthi rebels from Yemen and remove any Islamist activity from Yemen. They initially went out looking for Islamists after the war on terror began, but Yemen has become something of a long-running open wound. And it's these open wounds that I think are deliberately fostered to create this blank check for the Forever Wars. Again, they're called the Forever Wars because they never end. Again, if you do like our work, do support us. This was just a very, very quick one to give you a bit of an overview about what was happening and give you some context about why you are seeing things appear in the news cycle now and why some of that might not necessarily be entirely genuine. Anyway, what I will say is have yourselves a very good evening, and I will speak to you next time.